Scripture reading for this evening will be from the Gospel of Matthew, two chapters there. Matthew 18, verses 1 through 6, and then Matthew 19, verses 13 to 15. So Matthew 18, verses 1 through 6. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, "Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted, and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name, receiveth me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea." Matthew 19, verses 13 to 15. "Then were there brought unto him little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray. And the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, Suffer little children, and forbid them not to come unto me. For of such is the kingdom of heaven. And he laid his hands on them and departed thence." May God bless the reading of his word to our hearts, to the hearts of our children this evening. I'll read again the words of our text from Matthew 19, verses 13 to 15, and then I'll read Lord's Day 27. "Then were there brought unto him little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray. And the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, Suffer little children, and forbid them not to come unto me. For of such is the kingdom of heaven. And he laid his hands on them and departed thence." And Lord's Day 27, page 56. Question 72. "Is in the external baptism with water the washing away of sin itself? Not at all. For the blood of Jesus Christ only and the Holy Ghost cleanse us from all sin." Question 73. "Why then doth the Holy Ghost call baptism the washing of regeneration and the washing away of sins?" God speaks thus not without great cause, to wit, not only thereby to teach us that as the filth of the body is purged away by water, so our sins are removed by the blood and spirit of Jesus Christ, but especially that by this divine pledge and sign, he may assure us that we are spiritually cleansed from our sins as really as we are externally washed with water. Question 74. "Are infants also to be baptized?" Yes, for since they, as well as the adult, are included in the covenant and church of God, and since redemption from sin by the blood of Christ and the Holy Ghost, the author of faith, is promised to them, no less than to the adult. They must therefore, by baptism as a sign of the covenant, be also admitted into the Christian church and be distinguished from the children of unbelievers, as was done in the Old Covenant or Testament by circumcision, instead of which baptism is instituted in the New Covenant. Just a note about this Lord's Day as I was reading in preparation this week. It's interesting to note that question 72 is against the Roman Catholic error, which teaches that baptism itself regenerates a child as they're brought to baptism. Question 73 deals with Lutheran error, which also dealt with some of the same error of Roman Catholicism, but also dealt with the issue of assurance and baptism. And then question 74 dealt with the error of the Anabaptists, which argued that infants should not be baptized, but only adults, because only adults can believe. So just a note about how these how this Lord's Day and these three questions came in within their context and how they can help us understand these errors. Well, last Sunday we heard a sermon about baptism and what it signifies. It points us to the blood of the Lord Jesus and how the blood of the Lord Jesus can wash us and cleanse us and restore us unto good works, unto holiness of life. This is what baptism assures believers of and points them again to again and again as the only solution for sin. But as our Lord's Day points out this evening, baptism also involves infants. And in the providence of God, the order of the Lord's Days has come just before baptism next Lord's Day morning. And so we can use these Lord's Days as a way of preparation. Typically, we only prepare for the Lord's Supper, but baptism is also a sacrament. And so we can use these Lord's Days that we've heard to prepare our hearts to get more benefit from the sacrament of baptism. Not just for the infants, not just for the parents, but for the entire congregation, for believers, how baptism functions within the life of the church, within the economy of the kingdom of heaven. But the concern of Lord's Day 27 before us is to show us that children have a place within the church, that children have a place in the kingdom of God, that children have a place in the heart of God himself. As I was out and about this week, I came across an individual who happened to be a Baptist before, and now he's persuaded of the Reformed position of infant baptism. Just in the course of the conversation, I shared with him what I was going to preach on. He said, "You know, that's interesting." He said, "This very text was instrumental in my life to convince me that infants ought to be baptized. Infants have a place close to the heart of God, close to the heart of Jesus himself." So children, the message this evening is for you as much as it is for parents. I pray that you, as young as you are, would know that there is a place in the heart of Christ for young children such as you. That grace can change your heart just as much as it can change an older person. And to older ones in our midst, the challenge comes to us, doesn't it? If you are unbelieving tonight, the challenge to you is to become like a child, helpless, dependent only upon the grace of God to carry you into the kingdom of heaven. And so the question comes, doesn't it? Can we permit children to come to Jesus even at the baptismal font? What is the biblical basis for doing so, for having our children baptized? Well, that's the question that's going to form the theme for this evening. Permit children to come to Jesus. We see from our text, first of all, that there is permission desire. These parents come to Jesus. They desire permission to bring their children to Jesus, to have them prayed over, to have them blessed by the hands of Jesus himself. The question arises to parents tonight, what is the one thing that you desire for your children? What is the one thing that you desire for your children? If there was one thing that you could provide for them, what is it? Sometimes we want to give our children what we never had as children or young people. We pour our lives into our children. We want them to play the sports we never did. We want them to have the material things that we never did. And so we do everything in our power to give them what we never had. We work so hard that our children can have all the material benefits that we never had. But this evening, our text is teaching us that our desire ought to be very different for our children. Our desire ought to reflect the desire of these parents as they bring their infants to Jesus. They bring their infants to Jesus in order for Him to lay hands on them and bless them and pray for them. This is what we ought to desire for our children. And children, this is what we ought to desire, what you ought to desire this evening as well. To come to Jesus, to be blessed by Jesus with eternal life, to have the hands of Jesus praying over you in His grace and in His mercy. This ought to be our collective desire, to come to the feet of Christ, to be permitted into His presence. Matthew records, then were there brought unto Him little children. At first glance, this doesn't strike us as significant, does it? That these parents just brought their children. But Matthew points out that these parents offered their children to Jesus. It wasn't simply that they were bringing them to Jesus and depositing them at His feet. No, they came in faith. They came offering their children. As it were, they came to Jesus and said, "Here are our children for You, Lord." That's the significance behind these words. It was an act of worship. Then were there offered unto Him little children. It's as if they're saying, these are not our children to begin with, but these are Your children, Lord. Isn't that the attitude that we must have as we bring our children in baptism to Jesus? We come seeking the divine favor and mercy of Christ for us and for our children. We say, Lord, we offer to Thee our children because they are not ours in the first place. We bring them to Jesus. Better yet, we offer them to Jesus. Our children are not ours. The Lord has gifted us with children to steward them, to care for them. This hit home for my wife and I in the last few weeks as we welcomed our baby into our family. The first 2 weeks he struggled with losing quite a bit of weight from the hospital to home. Into the doctor's office. It's a bit of a scary thing to watch your little one completely helpless and dependent. You lay them on the scale. You look at the numbers. Your heart sings as you see the weight going lower and lower. You begin to worry. You begin to pray. And this is how we prayed. Lord, we cling to this child because we love him as his parents. We love him. And we cling to him. At the same time, Lord, he's really yours and we live with open hands because we are dependent upon you for what we need for ourselves and for this little one. The reality came home that this is not our child ultimately. We had to come to the point where we offered this little boy to Christ. We did, of course, what we had to do. But it's in times like that that you realize that this child and your children are not your own. You have to come to the point where you offer them to the Lord. Their life, their salvation is not in your hands. It's in the hands of Christ. And so we bring them. We offer them to Christ because we have no better place to go. And so next week, parents, we come to the baptismal font and all the parents in the congregation, as you've offered your children to Jesus, we come again and we say, Lord, these children are Thine. Their salvation is in Thy hands, but we come in faith, we offer them, we roll them onto Thee, Lord, at the baptismal font because we cannot save them ourselves. But Thou hast come so very low in the water, teaching us that there is salvation in the blood of Christ, not only for us, but for these little ones as well. We come. We come and offer our children for his intercession and for his blood. That was the objective of these parents, wasn't it? Then were there brought unto him little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray. There was some elements of tradition in bringing children to a rabbi to be blessed, but this is an extraordinary act of these parents to bring their children to Jesus to be blessed and to be prayed over. Because within the context of Jesus' life, he was rejected as a rabbi by the Jewish people. He wasn't learned like the other rabbis were. He didn't take his place in the Sanhedrin, in the synagogues like the other rabbis did. He was an extraordinary rabbi. That's what these parents saw in Christ. They saw in him something that they and their children needed that they couldn't find with another rabbi. They knew in the hands of Christ was the blessing of life for them and for their children. Why do you bring your children to Jesus? That's the question, isn't it? Are you seeking permission for your children to be blessed and to be interceded for by Christ? Is that why you bring them? How do we bring them? Do we bring them and say, now it's in our hands to do what we have to do? Or do we take the roll and lean principle that we heard in the beginning of this year? We take our children, we roll them onto the Lord. We say, Lord, these children are too much for us to carry. It's our responsibility, yes, but we need thy grace. We need thy strength to sustain us. We need thy spirit to work in the hearts of our children because we can't do it ourselves. We lean on his covenant faithfulness as he comes to us in baptism, as he says, I will be thy God and you will be my people. As he places his name on the heads of our children, we lean on his almighty name for our children. But bring them we must. We may not exclude them. We seek permission for them to be blessed, to be prayed over by Christ himself. So as we bring our children next week, let's do it with this in mind, with this one objective, the blessing and intercession of Christ. Matthew Henry says it this way. He says, we cannot do better for our children than to commit them. There's that word again. Commit, to roll them onto the Lord Jesus, to be wrought upon and prayed for by him. We can but beg a blessing for them. It is Christ only that can command the blessing. And so we bring them to him. We desire permission for our children to enter into the kingdom of God. But it's not always that easy. We're going to meet opposition within and without. It isn't always easy to bring our children to Jesus, even though it might be something of a tradition to bring our children to the baptismal font to be baptized. But these parents met with opposition as they approached Jesus. It wasn't an easy approach into the presence of Christ with their children. And we actually see that permission is denied them. There were some angry men standing around the master as these children came, as these parents came with their children. These men had harsh words for these parents. They began to rebuke them. Why are you bringing your children to Jesus? Don't you know who Jesus is? Don't you think that he's too important for your little children? They form a ring around the master, a ring that cannot be penetrated by these parents. The Lord is too important. The Lord has no time for infants. The Lord, permission is denied these parents by none other than the disciples who ought to have known better. Children are barred from the presence of Jesus, from the hands of Jesus, from the prayers of Jesus by the disciples. We we may run into these types of barriers too. These permission deniers in the form of people. There are people in our lives that would prevent our children from coming to Jesus. Maybe it comes in the form of old errors that says that children are too young to be saved. Well, let them sow their wild oats, and if God will work in them, He'll save them. Don't worry. Children and young people, maybe there's people barriers for you. Maybe it's someone in your life in a place of authority. God forbid it's your parents or your teachers, but the sad reality is that sometimes there is this barrier that prevents you from coming to Jesus. Parents and teachers who say, no, children can't be saved. You're too young to know the Lord Jesus. Or maybe your peers are pressuring you, your friends. Why would you want to believe in Jesus at such a young age? Don't you just want to live life and have fun? Experience it, man. Just live it up. Jesus will save you when He's ready. He'll prevent you from coming to Jesus, to His hands of blessing and intercession. Maybe your parents bring you to Jesus time and time again in prayer. But you persist in sin. You are your own barrier to coming to Jesus. You continue in your unbelief and you say, I'm not coming to Jesus. Because I can do just fine on my own. Young people, are you denying the bond that God has made with you in baptism? Going on ignoring the bond and the blood that is so evidently set forth in the water of baptism. Are you living life testifying that you can do without Jesus? Watch out. Could very well be a fatal mistake. Or are you coming to Jesus and yet not living up to a life in Jesus? Perhaps yoking yourself to people who would prevent you from living a life of the life for Jesus to the fullest extent that you could be. Yoking yourself with friends in the world that are drawing you away from the realities of grace, drawing you away from the presence of Jesus, and thereby denying entrance into the kingdom. Is it perhaps time to count the cost of the people barriers in your life? To cut the cords of relationships that are either going to leave you severely crippled or in mortal danger of your own soul? People barriers. Yourself. Or others. Can be personal barriers in the lives of parents that prevent you from rolling your children onto the Lord, your own heart of unbelief that denies them permission from coming under the gracious hands of Jesus. You ask the question, does Jesus really save young children? You begin to make excuses for your children. They're too young. They can't understand all this stuff. Or our children say one thing and then we see them doing another and we lose heart. Will God really save them? Maybe this is your situation. You have a prodigal son or daughter that you've brought to Jesus at baptism, that you continually bring to Jesus in prayer. You stagger at the promises. You falter and you stumble and you stop bringing them to Jesus because there's no evident change. Unbelief sets in and cripples you. You feel the disconnect. You wonder how you can rightly teach your children. You see the spiral, how that works. your children are not too old and not too young to bring to the feet of Jesus. Don't let your personal life of faith be a barrier to your children coming to the Lord. Some of you struggle believing the promises. Others of you have not believed the promises at all. You're living in blind unbelief, living outside of the saving realities of the blood of Christ for yourself. Now you stand before this task of bringing your children to Jesus. Let me ask it this way. Will you stand in the way of your children coming to Jesus because of your own wicked unbelief? It's not only your eternal destiny that hangs in the balances, it's your children. They are watching you. They are listening to you. They know hypocrisy when they see it. They will see right through you. But don't stand in the way. Repent and believe the gospel yourself. That's the best thing you can do for your children. Come yourself and take them along with you. There are cultural barriers to bringing our children to Jesus. We see it in the general view of children in our culture. Children tend to be a nuisance, a hindrance to a career, to future plans, to financial security, to the dream vacations, and so on. This view impacts us too. This is reflected in the 60 million abortions that we'll remember next Lord's Day. 60 million children offered on the altar of convenience. This might be humorous, but it's reflected in our attitude towards children and pets. Did you know that the ownership of pets in the United States outnumbers children 2.7 pets for every child? This says more to the value of animals than of children. Children are far more precious than pets. Nothing against pets, don't get me wrong. This attitude towards children is reflected in the death rate of baby boomers. The baby boomer generation, the rate of death is outpacing the rate of births in this generation. I believe the birth rate is 1.8 children for every family, something like that. In order for a culture to sustain itself, it needs at least 2.1 children per family. We're not there. Children are seen as a hindrance or a nuisance and sacrificed upon that altar. Or there's the attitude that children become the center of the world. Everything focuses on the child. The children become spoiled beyond unbelief or beyond belief. And so there is this cultural winds that are blowing in our own lives and hearts. Children are a hindrance. Children are the center of our world. It becomes unpopular to have children, but even to bring them to Jesus is far more unpopular. It's far better to make sure they are financially set than to ensure their eternal salvation. It's far better to educate them in the best schools that are available than to educate them in the ways of God and the Scriptures. And again, there's nothing wrong with good education. Or we might presume upon the baptism of our children. That's another way of hindering our children. You think that salvation is automatic? Something like Roman Catholicism, you bring your child and they're regenerate. Or that God will catch up to your children somehow, sometime. We either overemphasize baptism or we underemphasize it. There are lots of cultural barriers in bringing our children to Jesus. Young people, there are cultural influences for you as well. I want to speak to you openly and honestly tonight. Last week, Pastor Vrombrugge had a message about the Corinthian church. A church that was beset by cultural influences as well. Particularly when it comes to human sexuality. That is a huge barrier to you. Stand before you as one of your generation knowing what it's like. But don't let that be a barrier to coming to Christ. If anything, that ought to bring you to Christ for cleansing, for the washing of the blood of Jesus Christ. Don't sacrifice your life on an altar of pleasure. God sees you, remember. Run to Christ again as you hear these words for cleansing. As you see the water sprinkled on the blood of the baby, on the head of the baby next Sunday. Run to the blood as it's pictured in that water for cleansing. Find help. Because it's a barrier that you're not going to overcome on your own. Your pastors, your elders, your parents are here to help you. Don't let that become a barrier between you and Jesus. Don't let it become something that's normal in your life. I pray that the testimony of the Corinthians would be yours. Such were some of you. There are many cultural barriers. That's just one of them. More than ever, it's becoming difficult to swim against the stream. But swim against it you must if you're going to survive. We're in this together. The devil would have you believe that you're a lone ranger walking that road by yourself, that there's no hope, there's no help for you, but there is. If God sees you come out into the open, offer your heart and your life to Jesus. There are the barriers of tradition. Some of you bring your children to Jesus because that's how it's always done. You do it without thinking because that's what you've always done. It's what we do in the church, isn't it? Not to do that would raise serious questions about you. But if you do it without faith, if you do it only in tradition, you're making a promise that you really can't keep. You'll make a promise that you will raise your children in the fear of the Lord, but you make a promise without sufficient resources because you're not connected to Christ yourself. You're living outside of the realities of the water of baptism. You do not know the life of the Spirit yourself. You're living by tradition. Becomes a dead work. Bringing our children to Jesus must never be a custom or just a tradition. It must not be merely the right thing to do because someone else is telling you to do it. It must be the right thing to do because you are convinced in your mind and heart that your child and you yourself need the blessing and the intercession of Christ. There's no hope without it. There's no life without the blessing of life. There's no hope without the intercession of Christ, because it's the intercession of Christ that upholds us, that gives us the strength to raise our children. And again, let me talk to you children and young people. Baptism can seem like it's just something that we do in church. But what baptism actually is that God is putting His name on your forehead. He's saying, you are mine from now on. You are separated from the children of the world. That's what the catechism says, doesn't it? That's what these parents were doing, to bring their children so that they would be set apart from the other children. God is saying, you are mine. Therefore, you cannot live like you want to. You are called to live according to my word. Baptism calls for a response from you. Not just a response when you're older, but even when you're young. When you're 4 or 5 or 6, the Lord comes to you tonight and He says, my name is on your forehead. Are you believing in Jesus? Do you trust in Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, for your salvation? That's a question you have to answer tonight. Let that bring you to the feet of Jesus. That question. If the Lord shows you your need of Him as your Savior, He is a willing Savior. Hebrews 7 verse 25 says, He is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Jesus, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them. What's that verse saying? Saying Jesus is able to save you. 4, 5, 6 years old. 2 years old. 6 months old. To the uttermost. He ever lives to pray for sinners. Don't let tradition be a barrier between you and Jesus. Because as we see, Jesus speaks up. The disciples do not have the last word, thanks be to God. So here's the picture. The disciples are standing around Jesus, rebuking these parents, protecting Jesus, as it were, from these parents. But what these disciples cannot do is silence the voice of Christ. We read these three beautiful words, but Jesus said, but Jesus said, breaks through unbelief, breaks through personal barriers, breaks through the barriers of the disciples standing around him, breaks through cultural barriers, breaks through all the traditions. But Jesus said, what did he say? Suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not. The king decrees that children belong in the kingdom of God, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. Listen. The voice of Jesus. He commands, suffer little children. Can we permit them? Permit them, Jesus commands. That's the word for suffer. Permit them to come. And forbid them not. Permit them and do not prevent them. The king himself opens the door of the kingdom for infants, for little ones, for children, for young people, for older ones. This command receives even more force considering the words that we read from Matthew 18, verse 6. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. This is the weight of Jesus' command concerning children, little infants, literally, in the kingdom. He is saying, do not set up roadblocks for your children, but bring them to me. Bring them under my hands of blessing. Bring them under my prayers of intercession. Bring them under the means of grace. Bring them to the baptismal font. Bring them under the word of God and of grace. Bring them so that I can claim them as my own. This command comes to parents, those who are awaiting baptism next Lord's Day. They come to me too. Permit your children and do not prevent them. Children and young people, this command comes to you. Jesus says, suffer little children to come. He's saying to you, come to me. There are no roadblocks from the side of Christ tonight or ever, except the roadblocks that you put up. Heed the command of Jesus and come. Come with your sin. He can deal with it. His blood can cleanse it. This command comes to us as pastors. Do not prevent them in preaching and teaching. By our example. This command comes to teachers and elders. Do not prevent children. Permit them. For such is the kingdom of heaven. The king has spoken. Will you listen? He commands, but he also corrects, doesn't he? The disciples had this mistaken notion that Jesus was too busy or too important. They thought that Jesus should probably begin with consenting adults who could make a statement of faith coherently. Who could think through the teachings of Jesus and give a rational account of what they had learned. Those who had come to the years of discretion, at least. this rabbi was surely above these children. But Jesus rebukes them in turn. He says, suffer the little children, suffer these little ones that are coming in the arms of their parents. Permit those who cannot walk and talk and care for themselves. I am not above them. I'm here for such children. Permit those who are unable to do anything about receiving a sinful human nature. Permit them who are unable to do anything about that human nature. Permit them and do not prevent them, for if such is the kingdom of heaven. That's powerful. No one can speak with such clarity, with such authority, but Christ himself, when he corrects the disciples, he corrects us tonight. And when he speaks, we do not need to doubt what he means. We don't need to jump through all kinds of hoops and say, well, surely this can't apply to my children. It can't apply to me. We need to take the word of God at face value, not to question it. Are you in need, perhaps, of correction in regards to your children? Maybe you're doubting whether they should be baptized because they can't believe themselves. Well, here's your answer to that question. Suffer little children and forbid them not. Roll and lean these children onto the covenant mercies of God. That's what question 74 counsels you to do as well. Since they, as well as the adult, are included in the covenant and church of God, and since redemption from sin, the sin, by the way, that they received from you, since redemption from sin by the blood of Christ and the Holy Ghost, the author of faith, is promised to them no less than to the adult, they must be baptized. It doesn't mean our children are saved by baptism, but it does mean that God makes a covenant with us and with our children, in which there are great and rich and precious promises, in which there is the beautiful picture of the washing of the blood of Jesus. That's why we bring them. It's not because of your faith that they're saved. It's not because of their faith that they're saved. It's because of the gracious character of God that they're saved. Jesus corrects our mistaken notions and understandings of his powerful and efficacious grace, even for children. Does it mean that our children are saved one for one? It doesn't mean that either. But we offer them to Jesus, trusting in him, trusting that he's got our children, that he's holding them in his hands. That he will do with our children that which brings him most glory. Jesus corrects. He confirms the place of children in the kingdom of God, which includes the covenant that he has made with his people. For of such is the kingdom of heaven. There's something within us that still just doesn't quite want to say that the kingdom of heaven is made up of children, of little children. But that's exactly what Jesus is saying. Of such, of this kind. Is the kingdom of heaven. Of such, of little children and of those who are like them. That's what Jesus is saying. Very literally, the smallest infants who cannot walk, talk, or care for themselves, of such is the kingdom of heaven. Yes, these children that we hold, that we train, that we discipline, of such is the kingdom of heaven. That's how God builds his kingdom with our children. What encouragement there is in these words, isn't there, to bring our children to Jesus. But that's not all that makes up the kingdom of heaven. It's not just little children, but Jesus says in Matthew 18, verse 3, "Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." The kingdom of heaven is made up of those who are literally infants, but also those who are like infants, those who are converted, those who are humble, those who become dependent, those who cannot come to the point where they say that they cannot do anything themselves, who depend entirely upon the grace of God in Jesus Christ. What does it mean to become like a little child? Well, exactly like a little child looks like. A child that's carried around. A child that can't walk, a child that can't talk, a child that can only eat. An infant that's dependent on its mom and dad. An infant is unable to do much about anything. It's powerless to do anything, in fact, except lean on the arms of its mother. That's the picture of those who make up the kingdom of heaven. Those who lean their weight on Jesus Christ. Those who depend upon the blessing that comes from Christ, the blessing of life. To those who are thirsty, to those who are hungry, to those who are weak and tired and frail, and he says, come. No barriers with me. Come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come unto the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Spirit of the bride, say, come. Let him that is athirst come and drink of the water of life freely. Are you a little child? Are you leaning on the grace of God alone? Such is the kingdom heaven. Jesus shows great compassion, finally. He hears the parents. He grants permission. He decrees, in fact, permission. And then he acts on their desire. Verse 15, we read of Jesus' action, and he laid hands on them and departed thence. What is this signal to us? Jesus hears the desires of parents as they bring their children for blessing. Jesus hears the prayers of parents as they lay their children on the altar, as it were, for the intercession of Christ. He hears. He laid his hands on them. This encompasses not just the blessing, but also the prayer. It's an action that takes in this desire, this objective that the parents had. He shows compassion. We come with our failings as parents. We bring our children to a compassionate Jesus who blesses and intercedes. We roll and lean on him for our children. We see our children's sinful human natures manifested early on. We bring them to Jesus for his high priestly hands of blessing, his life-giving intercession that can raise the dead souls of our children to life. Jesus is compassionate. Suffer them to come. forbid them not. But he does more than speak. He acts. He lays his hands on them and he blesses them. In a sense, we're going to witness that next Sunday. Through the hand of the minister, as it were, the Lord is laying his hands on the heads of our children. They're under the means of grace. They're under the blessing of life as they hear it preached. They're under the intercession of Christ as he intercedes for such. This is what's pictured in baptism. There is blessing there. There is life there. There is compassion there. There is Jesus there for our children. For parents like you and me. Jesus is there, children, for children like you, sinful children. Young people, he's there for young people like you. Baptism doesn't say, but we know that Jesus does. That's what baptism points us to. And so we come. Let's come. Collectively. Pouring out our hearts to Christ, saying that we have nothing of ourselves. Our only hope is in the blood. In the blood of Christ. Amen. How great is thy gospel. How free is thy gospel. How glorious and beautiful is thy gospel. For infants, for those who are like them. May we all be as little children. Though conceived and born in sin, though bearing in our nature is the havoc of the fall, yet we come because thou hast said so. Thou hast shown us tonight that there are no barriers from thy side. The barriers are ours. We confess them. We pray that thou wilt remove even those barriers that we have constructed by thy grace and by thy tender mercy. That we would receive the blessing of life and the kingdom. Lord, hear us for the sake of the souls of our parents, the souls of our children. Hear us for the sake of thy own Son, who intercedes even now, saving to the uttermost. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.